Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi everyone, welcome to Lights, Camera, Rant. As my outstanding intro guy always says, I am your host Lee, and thank you for tuning in for the very first video podcast episode of Lights, Camera, Rant. And if you're not watching in and you're still listening to the audio, I thank you guys every single week for coming back as well, so you're not missing out. It has been one hell of a journey of Lights, Camera, Rant, starting with episode 1, and now we're up to episode 50. And that's not including all the specials we've had in between. And it's just, you know, this idea of doing a video podcast episode was always in the back of my mind when I first began. Because, you know, you'd see all these podcasters, you know, doing these video episodes. It looks so much fun. You know, I think of like all the stuff and gear they're going to have as well. And I thought, you know, I'd love to get to that point, which, thanks to Anchor, has made it that much easier to do. So a couple of months ago, Anchor announced the fact they bring video podcasts to Spotify. Now, originally, when it came out, you had to apply for it, you know, and to test it out. But now it's available everywhere. So any podcaster can do this. And I recommend anyone, any podcaster do it, because it's such a lot of fun and it's just a new adventure. You know, able to watch this or listen to this on Spotify, and obviously the same thing on YouTube. So this episode will also be released on YouTube as well. So, you know, regardless of whatever platform, whatever you listen to or view or watch, right there, you can access Lights, Camera, Rant on your favorite streaming platforms. And as you guys know, we like to get into the news and into the reviews, and I sound like Dr. Seuss. Also, I understand if people do also still just want to listen to this in audio, because you don't want to see this ugly mug. So before we get into that, I would like to do a couple of housekeeping things. First things first, always like, share, subscribe, Lights, Camera, Rant, always appreciated. Two, the last two episodes we've had guests on here, both Mark My Words and the Nerd Dose guys. So, mark my words, we did an episode together. His gaming channel is fantastic. It is absolutely going off. So, definitely go check that out. Link in the bio and link, obviously, in my Instagram all the time. We are always constantly sharing our content. I got him on an episode, and it is the third time he's been on an episode with myself. And we did a quarterly gaming review to see how the gaming landscape is at the moment. Because there is so many amazing games yet to come out, yet we've already potentially got the game of the year, which is just mind-boggling, which is, you know, Elden Ring. And just seeing that was just like, holy shit, this game is just, you know, and the biggest thing about this game is such an odd thing, because it's like the biggest, most cherished thing about the game is the fact it's a full game. There's no DLC. There's nothing. There's no major update after it. You get the entire thing. How weird is that to get? But I got him on the episode. We had a lot of fun. We did a couple of news, and we got into what's come out so far and what's yet to come to make sure you guys are still up to date. So definitely go check that out. And this last episode, I had the American podcast, the Nerd Dose podcast. They're a fantastic bunch of guys, and please go check out their channel, both of them. Mark my words, the Nerdist guys, like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff that you guys hear all the time. And I can understand if it ever gets annoying, but it does go a long way. If you do, even the simplest like, it's touching, trust me. We got them on an episode of the Nerdist podcast, and we broke down the top fan theories leading into Doctor Strange 2. As well as we look back on the first Doctor Strange and the Doctor Strange episode, What If? So we looked at across those three of the board to make sure you guys are ready. So I'm guessing when this episode releases, if you're a real Marvel fan, you've already seen Doctor Strange. But it's still a worth to go check out, especially myself. I had to go back to see actually how many theories we got right and how many more that we got wrong. A lot. Yeah, a lot of the theories got wrong. But there are some ones where we were right. So I was like, yes, God damn it. So that's the housekeeping things. So let's get into the news, guys. Sorry, I'm having a drink. I hope you guys are too. So, most of all, what we've seen the most recently was the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 has wrapped up photography, guys. That is done and dusted. It is in the bag. James Gunn announced that on his Instagram. Now, a movie wrapping up is, you know, obviously fantastic and nothing out of the norm. However, the most interesting thing is that he posted a photo of it. And the fact that he's saying that there is one person missing. There's also another person there who's actually taking the photo. But James Gunn said the fact that it's an unannounced actor or unannounced person. So the curious thing is, who is this person? You know, it's all fantastic. You know, that's all done and dusted. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, we've been waiting for too long for it. But who's this extra person? So obviously, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, synopsis is very thin at the moment because it's still not coming out until next year. The next two Marvel movies that we're getting this year is Thor for Love and Thunder and Wakanda Forever, which there's a lot of question marks about Wakanda Forever, which I have mentioned in previous episodes. So that's the most interesting thing about that Guardians of the Galaxy post. Also, we saw set photos, and the Guardians are actually wearing their comic book accurate costumes that you see, you know, the blue and red, which is really cool. My biggest thing is I want to know why are they wearing that? Because you see Star-Lord, you see Nebula, they're both wearing it. So it's going to be very interesting to see why they're wearing it and what it leads up to. And as well as, I can't remember if I did mention it before, but Guardians of the Galaxy actually broke the record for most practical effects on a movie. Obviously practical effects. So that's fantastic. So Guardians of the Galaxy, I know a lot of people are clamoring for this movie. We feel like we slowly got robbed because everything that happened with James Gunn and Disney, this lawsuit, the Twitter, you know, and the fact that, you know, it's a double-edged sword. So we've already got Guardians of the Galaxy just around the corner. However, we would have got Suicide Squad or Peacemaker, which I both loved greatly, especially Peacemaker. If you haven't already, go check out my review of that, as well as the hero and villains rock theme episode I made, because there are so many good tunes on Peacemaker. Thank you, James Gunn. Which is, you know, when James Gunn did post this, I felt a little bit sad. It's like, you know, this is, which he's mentioned, this is the last time that we're seeing this lineup of the Guardians of the Galaxy. They might pop up again, but this is actually the last time we'll see this team, which, you know, I remember when the first Guardians of the Galaxy came out and people were billing this to be the first MCU dud. You know, we were going, nah, this is going to be crap. You know, why would you think a talking tree and a talking raccoon is going to work? Marvel, you're out of your mind. And boom. Now everybody loves Groot. Everybody loves Rocket Raccoon. No one can say anything bad about them. James Gunn did an amazing job. And not to mention, completely unrelated slowly, but the game is also fantastic. If you haven't, go check it out. Also check out my review of it. But on my YouTube channel. And definitely go check that out. But yeah, it's just, it's kind of sad it's come to an end, you know. Obviously, we've got Doctor Strange 2, so, you know, Doctor Strange will still get another movie. But, you know, we're getting Thor 4, which most likely could be the last Thor film. You know, and Iron Man's done. Cap's done. You know, it's just kind of, Hawkeye's kind of done. You know, it's kind of, Natasha Romanoff is definitely done. But it's just kind of sad knowing that, you know, it's been one hell of a ride, one hell of a journey, but just, you know, when you see these things start to, you know, get towards the end, you know, Ant-Man 3's coming out as well, and it's just, you're just looking going, I remember when they first got introduced in the MCU, and so much has happened. Honest, guys, you gotta think about it. But yes, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is done, and we just gotta wait until we get that lovely trailer. Hopefully we get it sooner than what we got the Thor 4 trailer. Anyway, moving on. So, I find this hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So, Fast and the Furious released a poster, and the thought the Fast 10 was going to be. And would you believe it? It is called Fast 10. That's it. You know, I remember what it was called, Fast and the Fast and the Furious. Wow, I'm showing my age. All the fate of the Fast and the Furious, all just the Furious. So convoluted, so convoluted. But yes, it's called Fast 10. That got announced, and funny enough, I saw the logo, and no joke, it just looks like X-Men 2001 logo. No joke. I actually thought when I was scrolling through my feed, I thought it was a new X-Men logo, and I was like, oh no, it's Fast 10. So it's gonna be very interesting to see, look, how it's gonna be, but you know, no curvity on the logo. But the most interesting going into this is the fact that Justin Lin has left the project. So day one of filming, he's left. You know, there's a whole rumor going around of what it could be. You know, they've put the whole production on hold because of it. And the thing is, he's directed more than one Fast and Furious films. He's been around it for a little while. So it's very curious to see that he has left. Rumor has it to do with Vin Diesel's behavior, which would be no surprise if that's correct because of it happening with The Rock. Yes, if you don't know, there's 100%, go have a look. There's a whole bloodbath between the two, and the Vin Diesel is also going, you know, I want you back, Rock, please come join Fast 10 or something. And he's like, no, I'm done. I don't want to come back. I've got Black Adam to do, which is going to be much more interesting than that. So, please ignore my dog. So that's going to be interesting. But the real reason is the fact that because Fast 10 was just about to go into production and that he's left the project, that potentially it's costing Universal $1 million a day in delaying all of this. But obviously, because, you know, everything goes involved with the mass production and they've actually had to delay it is enormous. You know, and this is almost Universal's bread and butter and they've had to delay it. So, look, it's going to be very interesting to see who is going to take up the mantle. I've seen a lot of tweets saying Michael Bay, which I think to myself, look, I'm not a big fan of Fast and Furious, but Michael Bay directing would be, you know, utterly perfect due to how insane these movies are. Not to mention, I'm pretty sure the special effects would be better to his liking compared to his other movie, Ambulance, which he straight up said he didn't like the CGI on that, which I thought was very curious. Okay. But, you know, it's each their own, really. But, yes, Fast 10. So, guys, most likely, if they can't find a director soon, they will have to delay the film. So, all Fast 10 fans going to have to wait a little bit longer. Moving on. Now, this could still going back on to James Gunn. So, when Peacemaker ended, James Gunn announced the fact that there will be another spin-off show from the original Suicide Squad movie. But he didn't say who. But the rumor is going around that apparently it's going to be Amanda Waller, which is going to be a continuation from the Peacemaker TV show. And I'm trying to remember her name. Viola Davis? Viola Davis, I think that's her name. Viola Davis. I'm probably butchering it. But, you know, apparently she's going to return, so she's playing Amanda Waller in all three films, you know, both Suicide Squad 1, Suicide Squad 2, and Peacemaker. So she's meant to return, and so apparently is James Gunn. But there's no official announcement at this stage. When I did see it, I was like, why? Like, I understand Amanda Waller's character, but, like, what, like, you know, you're going to do, like, a S.H.I.E.L.D.-esque thing, you know, you're going to do, like, undercover, Secret Wars, you know, what are you going to, there's no Suicide Squad team, and, you know, what's the government, anyway, I don't really know, I really wasn't, oh my god, but then again, at the same time, I did say that about Peacemaker, and I was out of this world surprised, and I had to eat my words when I got that all announced. I was like, shit. But yes, for anyone who likes Amanda Waller, there is a HBO Max TV show in the works. So potentially, it could be what James Gunn's sequel was. Moving on. So, we'd like to do celebration. It is, which Sony posted on their account, it has been 20 years since the very first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. That they're doing a very special box art and stuff like that for the release. But yeah, 20 years, guys, since the very first Spider-Man movie, which, you know, technically was the first superhero blockbuster film. You know, obviously, you know, Blade made money. There are other ones, but I'm talking about your superhero summer blockbuster movie, which was Spider-Man, which both Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi started off, and the rest is history. And the funny enough, this isn't the last time we're going to talk about Sam Raimi in this episode. But yeah, you know, he's, you know, it's amazing how long it's gone. Like, I remember, you know, when I first watched Spider-Man, I was amazed. No pun intended. You know, I thought it was fantastic. You know, it's still to this day, you know, when I've gone back and I watched Spider-Man 1 to get ready for No Way Home, I just remember still thinking, anyway, this movie, some of the CGI doesn't hold up anymore, but it's still a solid movie. Like, the script and everything is still really good. And, you know, William Dafoe, you can see why he came back, and you can see why he is just killer at the role, you know, and why he's so just a fantastic actor, and why, you know, he said to Kevin Feige, you know, I'll come back for No Way Home, but I ain't coming back for a cameo. There's a new Spider-Man in town. I want to beat him up. If I can't get the second one, I'm going to get the third one. No joke. So tell me, guys, in the comments, you know, do you like the original Spider-Man trilogy? Do you think 1 and 2 were good and then 3 plummet, which I am too. I think number 2 is fantastic. 3, I've rewatched number 3 and, you know, it's not the most fantastic movie. It's not the BNLN, it has its moments. You know, the CGI of Sandman still stands up now. So it still has, you know, its winning points. You know, I do wish we would get Spider-Man 4. That would be fantastic to see. But, you know, time has passed. Toby's a little bit older. But at least we got Toby back and Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man No Way Home, which is a fantastic movie. But yeah, 20 years of the very first Spider-Man. So tell me, how old do you feel? Because I do. Anyway, moving on. We also got a trailer, for the first trailer for The House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel TV show set thousands of years before everything. So we got the first trailer for that. I haven't watched Game of Thrones. I'm doing the pause because of the fact every person who I say that to has said the exact same thing. They go, "What do you mean you haven't watched Game of Thrones?" I'm like, what do you mean? I don't like Game of Thrones. Like, you know, there's dragons in it. Yeah, cool. But, you know, nothing didn't grab me when it was getting streamed every day. Sorry, streamed every year, you know, being the biggest download in Pirate Bay. You know, it didn't overly fathom me to watch it. You know, not to mention, just it wasn't on regular TV, but yeah, you know, maybe one day down the track I'll dive in and give it a gander. But new trailer looks good. Okay, I did watch that. So that looks really good. New character posters got released as well. And you know, this was going to be the most expensive TV show ever made. However, Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, was like, "Oh, that's really nice. Lord of the Rings." The Lord of the Rings TV show that's coming out at the end of this year is the single most expensive show ever made. It's just clocking up so high on how much it's going to cost, and the fact that, you know, it's really hope it's going to make its money's worth, because shit. And the value of dollars is up there. But yes, so for any Game of Thrones fans, tell me. I'm very curious in this, because obviously the Game of Thrones ending was so controversial, and obviously we know the books haven't been finished either, so we don't fully know the ending. Are you going to return to this? Are you going to return back to Game of Thrones for this prequel show? Or are you like, no, I'm burnt, you know, I'm never coming back, I'm never going back, it's done, dusted? Or you're like, you know, it wasn't that bad. I love the books. This is going to be different. Obviously, Matt Smith is in it, who's a fantastic actor. It did well on Morbius. I'll give him that, especially the dance and the vampire thing. Anyway. So tell me, guys. I'm really curious. Are you going to return for this? Definitely go check that out. What else did we also get? We also got the first trailer for Avatar 2, which we saw at the beginning of Doctor Strange 2, which really was just a teaser showing the world, everything going on, and a little bit of dialogue. So it's set 10 years after the first one, which is 2009, which someone in the movie did say, it was like, oh, yeah, I don't remember watching the first one. I was like, no one else does. No one I've spoken to about Avatar is like, oh, I can't wait to go back and watch Avatar. I'm like, Avatar is a good movie. Don't get me wrong. How it is the highest grossing movie of all time does boggle me to a degree. That's what gets me. It annoys me the fact that it's above Endgame. But, you know, it's all preference, obviously. So, but yeah, we got the trailer. The way of the water. Don't ask questions. But it looks good visually. CGI looks all fantastic. You know, from a visual aspect, it looks gorgeous. It's going to be very interesting to see how this movie is going to go. This is December the 16th. This is coming out this year. So we're still getting home for Christmas, which is why they moved Shazam. Or Aquaman is why I got removed, because they don't want to fight Avatar. Look, I think Avatar will be a box office hit, but I don't think it will climb to the numbers of Endgame or its predecessor. I don't think it'll reach that point at all. You know, it's been too long. I understand why James Cameron did it, because he wanted the technology to catch up, but I don't think, no. Anyway. Got that. So that will definitely get released online. It's not a massive trailer. It's literally just a teaser. There's not a whole lot of it. All your favorite returning characters are back. So how many Avatar fans? You're in for a treat. I really didn't get to talk about this about 2 weeks ago, but I want to bring it up. It was because of the fact I read that Taika Waititi did as well. So we got the Thor 4 trailer, Love and Thunder. Now, I won't go into too much depth because I did the other week. However, Taika Waititi did say in an interview was the fact that he praises Christian Bale's performance as Gorg the God Butcher, and saying that he is the best MCU villain so far. And that's a big call. So I don't know if that really means, you know, building the hype or, you know, just... yeah, basically building the hype, or he's actually telling the truth. However, you know, Taika Waititi's really given a point to us not to trust him. He's done a fantastic job. Give this man his own Star Wars film, please. But, you know, it's going to be very interesting. Thor 4, Love and Thunder is going to be a very interesting movie, because I was talking to Mark and Dean the other day. I'm like, Phase 4 is just about pure pain and misery and just gut-wrenching, and the fact that you, after Endgame, you all need therapy. You know, Steve, Mark, Wanda, you know, Hawkeye, all of you need therapy. You didn't need your own show, you need therapy, but I'm glad you do need your own show. But Bucky, need therapy, Jesus. But, you know, Phase 4 is going to be a one of pain and growth. But, you know, sometimes you gotta shake the foundation to rebuild something stronger. I have no idea where I just pulled that flipping from, but that was fantastic. So, yeah, guys, are you looking forward to Thor 4? Did you like the trailer? And, you know, are you ready for Jane Foster to be the almighty Thor? Which is going to be very, very interesting to see how she's going to have to get the hammer back. And this is a question that I do want to express, because I had a few people do ask me this, or on my Instagram, is that I do not believe the fact this is a variant of Jane Foster because of the fact that Hammer, if you do look, it has broken up into multiple pieces like it has been reassembled. However, I did see a concept art where the fact that Odin's grave or shrine is where he faded away in Thor 3. So I wonder, you know, if Thor goes back to his, you know, Odin's grave, or that's where the hammer's buried, you know, in different pieces. Like, you know, not to mention, you know, has, you know, I do know that Jane Foster will have the, you know, go through the cancer storyline. So that's going to be very interesting. But I don't think she's a variant. I think this is the pure, you know, Jane Foster, because it doesn't make it understand she's a variant. However, I will explain something later about the multiverse in that as well. So, sorry guys, need to rehydrate. Stay hydrated, guys. We also got in the past week, which I was completely blown away by, was the Obi-Wan Kenobi TV show got another trailer. Now, we didn't see... I got blown away because I just love Obi-Wan Kenobi and Star Wars, and what they're doing in TV show is fantastic. Now, I will admit, this trailer didn't blow me away to much degree as the first one. It wasn't like... I was when I before I watched it, but after I watched it, I was like, oh, okay. So in the trailer, it's very similar extended scenes from what we've already seen, some new dialogue, but nothing massive. Except for right at the end, where you see Darth Vader's suit getting assembled from bits and pieces. And you can see the fact that, you know, he's hunting him down. So we do know that Hayden Christian and Ewan McGregor are going to take another swing at each other. But $50 says it's only happened in the last two episodes around there. Nothing earlier. So you're right, this Obi-Wan's only six episodes long. Two are getting released on release date. So we only have 4 weeks, which is a very short time compared to what we've been experiencing with everything else. You know, Mando, Boba Fett, Moon Knight. So that's going to be really interesting on that point. So The trailer did give you substance, but nothing like, oh my god, oh my god. Not to mention, there's no Jewel of Fates. I understand why they did that, because the first trailer, to get you all hyped and jacked, it got me so jacked and pumped for it. It's no idea. And not to mention, Jewel of Fates was stuck on my replays for so long, for like 2 weeks after, you know, I got released. But yeah, guys, you tell me, like, are you excited for Obi-Wan, or did Boba Fett kind of burn you? Also, speaking of Boba Fett, if you do want to go check it out, there's a Boba Fett making of that got released in Disney Plus, which I will go check that out at some point. But yeah, go check that out. I think so far everything I've seen for it's really positive and really good insight. So guys, that is the news. So let's get into the particular part while you're here. Interview reviews for both the ending of Moon Knight and Doctor Strange 2 in the multiverse of madness. Alright, Moon Knight. Let's get into that. So, I didn't do a review on the last episode about Moon Knight due to all the guest episodes, which was a lot of fun, but I missed the opportunity to talk about them. So, Moon Knight's done dusted, guys. We saw the season finale, and holy shit, guys. Let's talk about that. So, first thing is, Moon Knight has been an absolute emotional rollercoaster from start to finish. Both Moon Knight and WandaVision have been the fantastic choice for the very first Marvel TV show to start the year off. Which, you know, when Moon Knight started, there was a lot of comments going, oh, it's too different, there's no connection, I don't like this. And then we got the absolute emotional breakdown episode, which is the episode for the last one, where you finally see why Mark was crying, how Steve was created, and it just, like, I remember watching it, and I texted Mark and Dean straight away, and Perry straight away, and I was like, oh my god, like, you know, the best way I could describe it was the fact that, you know, Indiana Jones 2, with the heart, it was just like, like, just taking your heart straight out of it and showing to the person, because I was like, like, it's so gut-wrenching. It's so dark. You know, they're tackling elements of, you know, split personality disorder, you know, abusive mother, you know, domestic violence almost, all in this TV show, you know, just to start you up. And, you know, seeing all this, I can 100% see why Oscar Isaac took this on board and was like, yeah, I'll do this. Because all in all, this show has been fantastic, and I consider it top tier MCU TV show. WandaVision's number one, Loki, Moon Knight, Hawkeye, What If, and then Falcon and Winter Soldier. You know, probably, yeah, in that order, because Moon Knight has just did, just, you know, because the last episode that we do get, you know, you see Stephen Mark reunite, which is fantastic. You saw him, you know, pull him out of the sands and go back to the realm of the living, which I really did enjoy that aspect. The most interesting factor I did see that someone did comment was the fact that it's good seeing, depending on your religion, you know, in the Marvel world, you see their different, you know, afterlife, heaven and hell, that kind of stuff. Because we've seen this into the reeds for Mark. And then you saw the soul world, soul world for both Thanos and Tony. If you haven't seen Tony, it's because of the fact it was a deleted scene. Go check it out. Avengers Endgame, go check it out. And both, obviously, you know, kind of soul world for, you know, for Black Panther with the previous Black Panthers. So it's interesting seeing all these worlds and their interpretation of life after death. You know, and the fact that depending on what you believe, you know, you will still go there. That there is a life after death in the MCU world to a degree. Obviously, you can see. Now, this episode is action-packed. There was so much to go on. You know, Mark came back with Steve. Khonshu got released. And so did Amit. Oh, I forgot her name. Shit. The evil crocodile lady. Which CGI on that was also fantastic. I was like, whoa. And again, Ethan Hawke as, you know, as Harrow did a fantastic job. You know, he has nailed Harrow, and that was just fantastic all the way through. You know, I tip my hat off to him. You know, he's played a fantastic bad guy, and just seeing what he's done with this character, the only part, as the show progresses, obviously he releases releases the crocodile lady, she gets released. And unfortunately, Harrow, who's got all the powers, goes to fight the other, you know, Egyptian gods that trapped Khonshu before. Now, this is a little bit of a negative I did have, was the fact that you didn't get to see him fight these other gods, you know, because it turned to Layla, and then they were on the ground, and they were dying. And I was like, well, I kind of wish I could have seen that, because, you know, he's got, you know, all these powers now. So I was like, oh, that's all disappointing. But yeah, that was one I grew up. But the action, CGI, and the story, how it flowed, was just, honestly, it was a good final. I wasn't like, no big revelation until the very end of the mid-credits scene, which I'll get into that. But, you know, just did, it did justice. You know, both, you know, Moon Knight, Mr. Knight, Steve, and I told you Steve will come back. He wasn't gone forever. You know, that was back. The entire scene, which carried over obviously the previous episode and the psalm, that was fantastic. The hippo lady, that was funny. It was like, yeah, first we get the shippo, we take out the hippo. It was fantastic seeing that. And one of the best parts was Layla's suit as an Egyptian god, when she brought out the blades. I was like, that's freaking cool. You know, that was probably my biggest highlight. She was kicking ass, and that was fantastic. And not to mention, now, some people I did see gripe was the fact that, you know, they were, when Layla and Moon Knight were fighting Harrow, they kind of got into a jam. They were obviously to a family, they were, you know, about to get killed. Harrow was about to kill Moon Knight until they did the flash over, and then Harrow was dead. Oh no, sorry, he wasn't dead, he was nearly dead. And then Layla's what the hell happened? And Mark's like, I have no idea. Which you're like, I think I know why. Would you get to that point? Which, you know, they go through, and, you know, Khonshu said to Moon Knight to kill Harrow, which he didn't. And we think, well, Mark thinks he gets released of being Moon Knight and is free to live his life. The ending, like, is weird because it's almost like it chops really quick to him being in the bed, being back in his apartment, back in England. And, yeah, it's almost like it was a dream. Like, the whole thing of becoming Moon Knight was a dream. But then Mark starts talking to Steven, and you're like, oh, okay, makes sense. Don't see Layla at the end of the episode. But, you know, for crapping off the season, that did a fantastic job. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, I think for any Marvel fans, I think if you're looking for something different, a different part of the world, a different character, a darker tale, I highly recommend Moon Knight. I have actually spoken to anyone who hasn't enjoyed it, which is, you know, I should tell you. But, you know, at the very start of the season, I'll admit I was a bit like, what is going on? But now, not disappointed, did a fantastic job. Now, the thing is, we got an after credits scene, which was really good, which we see Harrow get taken into a limo. He sees Khonshu in the limo, which is wearing a very fancy suit, which is taken straight from the comics, even the car and the license plate. And Khonshu goes, well, you know, Mark and Steve think they're so free, when actually I've got another ticket in my bag. Taps on the window, and it's Jake. It's the third personality. He's in the car and takes out Harrow right there and there. So Moon Knight is not gone. Mr. Knight's like gone. There's still something for season two going on, which there is no plans for season two at this stage. But you, me, we know the fact that Marvel has a plan. Marvel always has a plan. So I have no doubt that he will reappear. My theory is that we will see Moon Knight in the Blade movie with the Black Knight, because obviously they're all in the UK and surrounding areas. So I think Moon Knight will appear in Blade, and they'll, you know, join forces, you know, or, you know, all the fun stuff. So, and, you know, there might be another season two, but he's fully legend in the MCU now. Similar like how WandaVision doesn't have a season two, because, boom, she's straight into Doctor Strange. But definitely let me know in your comments. Please let me know, did you enjoy the end of Moon Knight? Or are you like, nah, it was too far out. There was no connection to MCU, which the showrunner, Mohammed, I can't remember his last name, he did say the fact that originally there was two cameos for the MCU, from the MCU at the very beginning and the very end. However, as the script developed and changed, they realized as the story grew, we don't need those characters. Which, to me, looking back at it, I feel like you didn't need the MCU characters. Yeah, you could have done with a cameo, maybe not him interacting with Moon Knight, but, like, you know, if he sees him in the background or on the TV, something like that, I would have still been happy. But I'm not glad there was no MCU connection, because it's showing us the fact that even this grand scheme of everything that's happening in the MCU, there is still stuff going on that has to have no connection with everything else, you know. So, Moon Knight, I recommend, definitely go check that out. So, why you're all here. Now, real quick, before I get into it, I haven't watched the last episode of Halo. I'm going to watch that next week. I'm going to watch two episodes this week and last week. So I will have a double Halo episode for next week's episode. I haven't forgotten. Just for obviously trying to go see Doctor Strange, get this ready and everything. Halo's kind of going on the back burner, which if you have been listening to me in the last few weeks, you'll know why. Why it's going on the back burner, because there's been so much going on. Not to mention, number one reason is because Halo comes out every Thursday night. And what was I seeing last Thursday night? Doctor Strange 2 Into the Multiverse of Madness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is spoiler warning. Spoilers, which of the spoilers on Moon Knight, however, you should have seen it by now, but I'll still say it. Spoiler warning. Spoilers. I can't stress that enough, because I did have someone message me last time, was like, oh, you spoiled, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on, my podcast comes out like nearly a week after the last episode. How have you watched it? I was like, I have no sympathy for you. Come on. Like, if you haven't watched it by now, like, it's just a 45-minute episode or an hour episode. You know, go watch it. Not to mention, you would know I'll be talking about it. So, anyway. So, Doctor Strange 2, Into the Multiverse of Madness. Now, I appreciate everyone who's listening to this review right now, because I understand obviously a lot of people have reviewed it so far, because of it's nearly been a week since it's been out, so I'm glad you guys waited to hear my lovely take. So, I've seen this movie surprisingly had the reception of it has been slightly quite diverse on how everything is going to go. And look, the movie, let me set the scene. So the movie takes no time in starting the cell. There is no delay. This movie smacks you in the mouth. It is off running straight as you go. This movie is, piles on full gas, no brakes for 2 hours. Now, there are obviously slow moments that do very well. Obviously, the comedy moments, they do well as well. However, this movie is go, go, go from the very start. So it is no real slow moments. If you're watching The Batman, you're like a bit like, oh, look at that. Look at the time. Really good to, head home, because, nothing's really happening right now. There are no moments like that. So, was I disappointed when I very first heard the fact that it was only 2 hours long? Because I thought this was going to be 3 hours. Originally, first reports, it was going to be 3 hours. So, I was very excited about that. But, and when I heard it was only 2 hours, I was kind of like, I didn't want to be rushed. And I don't think it's rushed. Sam Raimi, who came on board to direct this film after Scott Derrickson left the project, he was the original director of Doctor Strange 1, he still stayed on as an executive producer, which I think is still really good. He's still on the project, which, Scott even went on his Twitter page saying the fact that, there was no bad blood between him and Sam Raimi. It was along the lines of, it's in fantastic hands for Sam Raimi. Now, this is the first time Sam Raimi has come back to direct a Marvel movie after, which I said earlier, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. And he goes to town on this. You can tell this is Sam Raimi through and through. There are the horror elements. This movie is very, very dark. Very dark. And not to the point where it's like a true horror film. It's more like jump scares, or just like you don't know when something's going to pop out or how something's going to appear and you don't know how that's going to come out. Not to mention, there's just one scene where, I'm going to spoil it. I'll get into it a little bit later. I'll tell you why. But this starts off right. So we see, Doctor Strange and America Chavez running through the multiverse. And she's getting chased by this monster. Now, that leads on. They get attacked. This variant of Doctor Strange with a ponytail dies, trying to save her. trying to take a power away, trying to kill it at the same time, and they fall into our Doctor Strange universe. Now, but when this happens, Doctor Strange wakes up from nightmare, which you can see. He gets dressed and he goes to Christine's wedding. Now, she's getting married to some bloke, which, you know, in the trailer you saw that you pretty much knew this was going to happen. You still feel the effects from the, from the blip, from everyone being snapped, because the doctor that was a dick to him, or he was kind of being a dick to him on the very first movie, comes back and he mentions the fact that how much he's lost, you know, and everything like that. And the interesting thing he did, like, this stayed with me, was that, like, he looked at me like, there was no other option, was there? You couldn't have done anything else. And Doctor Strange looks down and is just like, no, I couldn't, that was the only option, you know. And the thing is, like, he's going to have to be adjusting that for a while, Stephen, like, with that heavy burden. You know, the fact that, you know, he's been called the greatest hero of ever what happened. He's a world-renowned hero. But, you know, at the same time, the cost was so heavy to do it. It was worth it, but the cost that he has to live with is burning that's still in there. And then, you know, that's a slow moment. We do get a lovely scene. So this movie does continue on. This is a flat-out sequel to Doctor Strange. All the, you know, major characters have returned for this movie. So to me, this movie was very much Doctor Strange. It was still Doctor Strange. However, I will say Wanda was the MVP of this entire movie. No joke. You want her back on screen more than Doctor Strange. The same kind of effect in The Dark Knight. You know, you want to see her more. Is she the villain of the movie? 3/4? Yes. And you see her powers in this movie on full display of being the Scarlet Witch. You know, she's being dark. She's being more powerful. She is more powerful than Thanos. She is a more deadly villain. She's not a full villain, you know, I want to say, because obviously after WandaVision, she wants to get her kids, and she's going to do what, no matter what. Like, she takes out the entire class of the Kamar-Taj, of all these other sorcerers. She takes it out. There's a real creepy scene where she's, like, trying to find, because they do a force field around Kamar-Taj, so obviously all the sorcerers are, you know, keeping the power up, and you see her trying to find a weak point. And, you know, she gets behind a guy and is just like, run. And which he freaks out because he's so scared of her. You know, we do get elements of her doing, you know, the hand thing in someone's ear, trying to possess, like we get Avengers 2. To me, Wanda was, she's the massive anchor of this movie. You know, she is the MVP. You know, and the thing is, she's essentially almost the villain. You know, she's the villain. Yet, you want to see what she's doing next. You want to see what she's going to do, you know, hunting down. And, you know, the different horror elements. It's fantastic. Benedict Cumberbatch does a fantastic job. But, like, the villain is better to watch. So, obviously, she's trying to get American Chavez because she can jump into different multi-universes, you know, different universes. And Wanda wants her to take her power to find her kids to stay in that universe. And so here comes the thing of the fact, you know, all right, you do that, but what's going to happen to, you know, what's going to happen to their other mother? She gets a bit confused about that. And, you know, it just starts off going and then going and going. You know, you get to see different worlds. You know, you see America Chavez and Doctor Strange go through all these worlds, and they go animated, dinosaurs, everything, and they plop into this world, which is a little bit backwards. Green for Go Across the Walk is red, and the other way around. Bruce Campbell makes an appearance, which we already knew, which is fantastic. Bruce Campbell was pretty much in all of Sam Raimi's movies. He was in Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. He was meant to be in Spider-Man 4 as Mysterio. But he does make an appearance. And, you know, as you go, we do see Mordor, Again, he makes an appearance. However, it's not Oz. So I'm going to state that straight. That's not Oz. They're in a multiverse of the character. So in the trailer, that's still not Oz. And the fact that the other one from our actual Earth is still running out there, which we do get a very interesting scene too. We do get Christine, a variant in this universe. She actually patrols and watches a multiverse. And she actually says, oh, you know, you're Doctor Strange from Earth 616. Which in the comics, that is correct. The main storyline of Earth, or the timeline, is Earth 616. So I thought, I was like, hey, it's pretty good. And this movie does very well of showing the fact that Doctor Strange is still in love with Christine. He's still heartbroken. You know, he loves her so much. He knows it's his fault why they push her away and everything. So that's still heavy. So there was, this movie is very emotional on both sides of the fence for both Wanda and Doctor Strange. Now, let's get into the most interesting topic of this entire thing, is that is the Illuminati. Yes, that is indeed correct. So we do get to see that, which the I was absolutely blown away by this, of the characters. So obviously there were some rumors that were true, some that were not. Which we do get is Captain Carter, Black Bolt, which is the same dude from the Inhumans TV show. He comes back, but he's in his full suit, which was really cool. We get Captain Marvel. We do get her, but not Brie Larson. We get the other chick, her best friend. She's playing Captain Marvel. And we get John Cusack as Mr. Reed Richards from the Fantastic Four, which I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. He's in it as well. And of course, what you already know, Patrick Stewart returns as Charles Xavier in the yellow chair from the X-Men TV show, which, when he does appear, they even use the X-Men TV show 90s theme. You hear the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You get, I was like, that's cool. So the fanboy movie just, you know, died in all that. And, you know, it's, and you see Doctor Strange. The interesting thing is, you do get their perspective, is that Doctor Strange is actually the threat, the biggest threat, and the Illuminati actually killed their Doctor Strange because he got so obsessed with the Darkhold, and, you know, he accepted that he was going to kill him. All right, so you do see Black Bolt's character, you know, powers, because obviously his particular powers is the fact that supersonic voice, which, you know, can kill anything if you talk, it just goes real, like a whisper. You do get that as well, and which was very curious. There is about four different Doctor Strangers in this movie, to be fair. So can you count them all? So that was really good, and, you know, the cameos was fantastic. I was like, oh my god! You know, I'm glad they pulled the trigger on it. But the thing is, Wanda, they all fight Wanda. Wanda tears them apart like nothing. And the way she kills them is horrific. You know, she, Black Bolt, removes his mouth. So obviously his voice blows the back out of his head. She turns Mr. Fantastic into ribbons. And she crushes Captain Marvel with a giant statue that falls on her. But the most horrific to me was Captain Carter, how she died. I was like, holy shit. So, obviously, she's still in the shield, which, you know, seeing how Hayley Atwell finally play the character is great. She grabs the shield, and obviously, you know, going back and forth, but Wanda grabs the shield with her powers, spins around, and sends it flying right back at her, and whoop, splits her in half straight, and you see the shield land into the wall with blood on it. At this point, Wanda has blood on her. So that's what I mean. This movie is dark. You know, dark from the MCU. Obviously, they haven't fully gone into horror, but still. It is still very horror. So she kills all of them. And then, with Charles Xavier, he tries to do a mind trick on her to try and get the other Wanda on, because Wanda's actually possessing that Wanda in that universe, which was a very creepy in the scene how she did that, where she even turns into the camera and you're like, oh my god. So Sam Raimi did a fantastic job. That's what I mean. Like, he is in full power of this. And, you know, Wanda, you know, Charles Xavier is trying to save the other Wanda, but he loses out, and all you see is these hands come out and fuck, breaks the neck of Charles Xavier. So Marvel was pulling all the punches and stops on this. Now, as it all progresses, yeah, of course, the momentum of the, to me, they used every single time going through with Doctor Strange, the characters, the motivations, you know, even the ending was good, kind of creepy. Don't worry, Wong doesn't die. Interesting though, we didn't see any variant of Wong, and you didn't see any other variant of Vision, which was really interesting. And unfortunately as well, which I will say the negative, there was no Loki or mention of TVA, because I'm like, well, I thought this was leading up to it. But, you know, it's, you know, it's still like that. But overall, Doctor Strange 2, thumbs up from me. You know, I wouldn't call it the top tier MCU film. However, if you're looking for something darker, emotional, quite driven, I would recommend it. Still go watch it. I think it's fantastic. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, there weren't enough cameos. I'm like, look, I'm one of those people. I thought there was going to be Cameo City. And that didn't happen, but I'm at the same time like, well, you know what? I can't ask for too much. You know, we got a fan pick of John Cusack playing Mr. Fantastic. We got Hayley Atwell coming back as Captain Carter. You got Charles, you know, Patrick Stewart again. So you got to take, you know, giving her a take. You know, but I wouldn't say it's top tier Marvel, but it is definitely at the end of it, is maybe that I want another Doctor Strange. I want another Sam Raimi coming back. You know, and I want to know what's going to happen to Wanda, because in the end, it's presumed that she's dead, because she buries herself under this rubble, which Shan dead. You cannot kill the most powerful Avenger, strongest Avenger like that. She will be back in one way or another. You know. She's too popular. There's talks for her own movie. You know, she will be back. 110%. But no, overall, I like the film. Definitely know what you guys told me about. I think pacing, you know, every moment was go, go, go. You know, even the ending, you know, was still a solid ending. You don't feel like it's just a chapter slid in. Like, it's just, you could just take that movie alone. For you could still watch Doctor Strange 1. And Doctor Strange 2, obviously, you need to watch in the middle to fully find out, but the movie still gives some context of what's going on, which is really good. Now, the after credits scene, there is two. The very, 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 very last credits scene is to do with Bruce Campbell, because he, you know, badges Doctor Strange, which Doctor Strange puts a spell on him, so he keeps punching himself, and he says it's not going to end for another 3 weeks, which it does end, and he's like, oh, it's over. And he looks at the screen and that's it. I was like, oh. But we did get to see right before that saying Doctor Strange will return, which Benedict Cumberbatch has said that he's looking forward to the next 10 years of playing Doctor Strange as long as the character development is there. Wanda Elizabeth Olsen said she's happy to return. She is coming back as well at some point. She's really looking forward to that. She's going to come back. Definitely. But as a negative, no Loki, no Vision. There's just, you know, what, there's some things on the playing table. I was a bit like, I would like to know what's happening, because I thought that was going to lead in. But it's not a major, major negative. But right at the end, with Doctor Strange, sorry, I will pull back. Another fantastic thing is that you see Doctor Strange's powers on full display in all kinds of different variations. There's a scene where he's versing one of himself, and they're using music to attack each other, which was fantastic. You see Doctor Strange powers on full display and the variation of it, so that won't disappoint you either. But yes, yeah, so right at the end, Doctor Strange 2 is walking down the street in his casual clothes, and there's a woman behind him. He turns around, and it's Charlize Theron. I was like, whoa, she's in this. So she's going to be a major player, and she says the fact that you've caused an incursion. And then she turns around. She has this like blade, like an energy blade, like from Halo, cuts into the universe and opens a portal which appears to be the Dark Dimension. You know, and she says the fact, you know, are you coming with me or are you too afraid? Doctor Strange is like, with his new third eye. Yes, he has a third eye right here. Said, nope, I'm not afraid and I'm coming with you. They both jump into the portal. So Charlize Theron's character is playing Clea. Clea. Which, when I first saw her, I thought she might be playing Enchantress because we haven't seen her yet, but she's playing Clea. Which, me doing a little bit of digging, I wasn't aware of this character. However, she is actually the niece of Dormammu, which was you saw in the very first movie. She was also born in the Dark Dimension. She also plays as a love interest to Doctor Strange at one point. So she has appeared in video games and other areas, but not on the big screen. And I think, you know, Charlize Theron is a fantastic actor. And if that's the type of character she's playing, I feel like she's going to nail it. This is definitely an upgrade from Fast and the Furious. 110%. So there's some context on all that. Where this is going to go, I have no idea. Because of the fact that we're getting Thor 4, which I think is going to have no connection to all this, and obviously Black Panther 2, which I think might not either. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see. But all in all, love Doctor Strange 2. Not top tier Marvel. But if you're for your horror fans, if you're looking for something darker and, you know, something just like smack bang, and if you're an Elizabeth Olsen Wonder fan, go straight ahead. This movie builds upon Doctor Strange 1. Still Inception vibes. All around applause. I didn't have a big negative. I did enjoy it. There's little things that I did think, this and this, but nothing that took away the experience of me. To me, this is still a blockbuster. It makes me smile. It makes me want to go watch these movies even more. You know, I'm always going to see it again with my family. You know, and that's what I love about Marvel movies, is the fact that every time I go see them, I'm just excited as I was the last one. Not Morbius. But look, guys, thank you very much for joining me this episode. I hope you've enjoyed this video podcast once again. So what is going to happen is I can guarantee the fact that both Thor 4 will be a video podcast and Black Panther will be a video podcast. I hope to make more in between, but that will be announcement obviously before it's going to happen. But those are the next two I can guarantee. So guys, thank you very much. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.